In Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey. So we did the first half of the Mishnah. Okay. So Achas Amonas Yisrael, the second half of the Mishnah. Achas Amonas Yisrael, Achas Amonas Kayin, Subasim Mona. Whatever situation she is, she's an Amonas, so her Ksuba is downgraded to 100 rather than 200. However, Bezan Shokahanim, are you grabbing the Psula Arba May of Zeus? Well, the Michal Biyar Chachamim. They created a Chumra or Hanhaga that if the Psula, if she was a Baskayan, so her Psula, her Ksuba was 400 as opposed to 200. So it created a mile of Cheshivas or Kahuna. So it doesn't play out to a case of a monos koyin, but it plays out to a case of a psula who's a bas koyin. So monos koyin over here means a mona who's a bas koyin. For contrast, in case of an amona who's a bas from a family of kahuna to a psula from a family of kahuna. Okay, so the Mishnah. And I say to Isha. There's a person did the suin, and the woman was lacking psulin. He ameris misha restarin and nasti. Yes, it happened. It happened by oinus, but it happened after the kedushin. See, even though the chiyuv of Tosefis etc. kicks in from the time of the Nesuin we saw, but her Ksuba is Chal B'Shas the Arison. So if she was a Psula at the time of the Arison, then something happened afterwards to make her not a Psula before the Nesuin. That's his loss. But he's Tapchos of the Sadchos. So she uses an idiom to say, your field has been washed out. It's your field, it's your mazel, I'm your field. And something happened to your field. So that's. But I was a Psula at the time of the Arison. So you owe 200. V'haloi oimer, the man says, loikin, rather than not so, ela anshel erasich, it happened before the erasin, v'hoya mechi mechatos, I want to marry a psula, not a woman who's a ba'ula, and the whole thing is a mechatos, I do not owe the ksuba at all. So she's claiming 200, and he is responding with zero. Now the Gemara says, we'll see that the loiki is not a bada; it's a shema. He doesn't know for sure when it is. He's arguing maybe it happened before the erison, and therefore I don't owe the ksuba. So she's a bori. She's claiming that she knows when it happened, that it happened after the Arison. He's saying maybe it happened beforehand, that I shouldn't have to pay anything. And the Gemara says, the Rishonim points out, this is the chur that has to be, because if he knew that, why did he go through with the Nesuin? They would say, well, he found out between last night and this morning. A little birdie told him, and was exactly how did he find out since last night when he started, did the Nesuin? The next morning comes the Bezin. All of a sudden, he found out with Ruach HaKodesh that it was before the Arison. Like, if he knew about it beforehand, he wouldn't have done the Nesuin, supposedly. He didn't want a woman who's a Bula. Right? Elamai, he didn't know. So what could he say now? The best he could say is maybe. So it has to be
that. Unless he had Adam.
Yeah, but why did the Edom show up now at this moment, right? I'm saying, you know, so the case of the Mishnah, Pasha's, right? They punctured, he walked in the bed the next morning, he ran to the bed the next morning, he said, wow, I found Edom, you know, like. So the more says that we assume the assumption of the case is that she's a Bori and he's a Shem. On the other hand, he's the Mochsik. Right? He's the Mochsik, because she's being mighty to the Mammon, trying to be mighty to the Mammon from the Mochsik. So what happens? That she wins. Okay, she wins the case, which means Chazal gave a chumra to the dinim of Basula. We give her a din that conjunction with the fact that a woman is bored of Basula. and you were raising a question that maybe something happened to her. The chazaka tells me nothing happens. Right? If it happened, or and if it did happen, it happens. The general chazaka tells you it happened not earlier, but later. So this also possibly arrived. So there is what to support her case, and that in conjunction with the fact that she's a Bori and he's a Shema, so she doesn't lose her rights to the Ksuva in that situation. We do make her swear, the Rav points out, we do make her swear. Now, Rabbi Shoimer, let me pee on a choy. No, we can't. Literally, the phrase means we're not going to rely on her words. We don't live in this woman's words. They're not very reliable words. Ella Harei Zubaches is Baula Anshalat Tisaris. We assume that she was a Bula before the Arison. He Tosoi, and she fooled him. Anshal Tami Rila, unless she can prove that it happened afterwards. So basically, Rishua says, why should we rely on what she says? I mean, so the fact that he is muksik, she loses. This is if she's accepting his arguments.
She isn't muksik.
What? The fact that he's the muksik, so she loses. This is as she's saying it's true. I'm accepting what he's saying that I was a bula, but she's saying it happened after the Arison. Let's say she denies the whole thing, right? Says no way. There's no way. This she says it's not true. I was a psula when he took me last night. I'm a bula now. She take me to the doctor. It doesn't help. I mean, she had bia. So the question was: did the bia happen now, or did the bia happen a year and a half ago before their Arison? You know, so there's no way to know that. We can't prove that. So she says it's not true. The whole thing. He took me. She was a psula. So the Mora says. So that. So what she's saying? He's lying. Right. That. So the Mora says in that situation that even Emil and Eliezer would say that the law is that he wins. Because it's not logical that something happened, right? If he had a dislike to her, so the man used to pay for the chasna. So why do you make the chasna? Right? Otherwise, something happened since last night and this morning to the point that he wants to throw her out with not Mistabr. So logic dictates that he's saying the truth. And therefore, even though Gamil and Rebeliezer say that the Chesed HaGuf would support her position, that she really was a psula, and they said, we saw that they said that's enough in conjunction with her Tainus Bori to let her win. But in this situation, he wins. You know, in that situation, you know, where he would say, they're arguing whether she's a psula or not.
According to
Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Let's say she's believed, but not a scenario when she says where they're arguing whether she's a psula or not, whether she was a psula or not. Here, Maris Mukas Eitzani. Yes, I was lacking psulim, but it wasn't due to an act of a man having relations with her, but it was some item got lodged in there and tore the psulim. That's called mukas eitz. Vu aimer loiki ela drusas ish at. So using language of she was trampled by a man, literally, but I mean she was, and a man was bore on her. So that Book of Eitz does not give her the status of a ula. Okay. Now we had a machlokas before. Does it downgrade her ksuva or not? What status does the case of Mukhas Aids Mishnah Gimel? Rameir says the Ksuba is 100, and the Chama says the Ksuba is one. Rameir says the Ksuba is 200. Chama say 100. Right, he's claiming that she was a Ba'ula, it's a Mechotos, and therefore he owes her nothing. She's claiming that she was a Mukhas Aids. Something did happen, but she deserves a Ksuba 100. So again, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Nemanis, Rabbi Shomer, Lomi Pia on Ochoyen, Al Harezu Becheskes, Drushas, Ish, Achatabi Rai, Lodura. She's trying to be Matsi Mama from him. Rabbi Yeshua says, the Matsi Mama from Lavardaya. And we don't accept her statement to allow her to be Matsi Mama. And Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer say that we do accept her statement to allow her to be Matsi Mama. And again, she has the advantage of a Bori Vashem, and she has the advantage of the Bori on her side. She's claiming that this is what happened. He's saying maybe not. He can't say for sure what it is. So the Bori Vashem, in conjunction with the fact that the Gemara seems to say that we would still even say some type of a chazaka, even though definitely there was a change to her being. So the chazaka was, they're both agreeing there was a change. The change which is due to the state of becoming a status of being a bula with a man is a different type of a change. Conceptually, it's a different type of change. Therefore, that chazaka, we would say, will minimize the change. Okay.
Different type of change than
fine. Okay, now the Mishnah is going to move away from the issues of the value of the ksuba, but discussing a woman's nemanis in general in regards to her halachic status, and I'm not talking about a woman who is a woman who's married, but rather we're talking about a woman who's not married, which we see that it seems to be that she's had some type of relations with a man. What status does she have? Okay. Ruah medaberes im echad b'shuk. We saw the woman interacting with a man not in the context of marriage. They're interacting. Now, the Gemara has a machloikis. This word medaberes is used euphemistically. The machloikis was it that they saw them being misyached, or they saw them having bia. That's machloikis in the Gemara. But Amar lo mativoi shel zeh. So who's this guy? What status does he have? So she says, ish plini hu v'kainu. So he's so and so, and he's a kain, which means he's a kosher. So even if she had relations with the man, having relations outside of marriage does not affect her halachic status. Except for according to Rabbi Eliezer, which we don't paskin like, or that. But so, but if the man was a man who would be also for her to have relations with, an eved or an akum or a relative, that she'd be also to, that would confer a status of a zayin on her, and she'd be also to kahuna from this point onwards. So she says, no, he was a kohen who was a miyuchas. And she even says his name, so you can go check it out. Okay. So what's her status? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Amrim Nemanis. She's believed, and we accept that testimony, and she's share the kahuna. Rabbi Yeshua, Amr Eloi, Mipi Onokoyen. So you see why the mission is here, because it continues this argument of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel. Can we rely on her statement? Now, this is not a case of the issue over here is being Matzi Mamon. Over here, it's an issue of Isser and Heter. But again, Rabbi Shua says we can't take her testimony and make her kosher based on that. We have to assume that maybe she had relations with somebody who was asa to her, like a nosin or a mamzer, which would make her psula l'kuhuna. Until she can prove who the individual was.
We're not going after like Rove.
So the more asks the question, the more says that when it comes to Yuchasin, because of the Chumrah of Yuchasin, that they want to make sure that we kept Klai so pure, they would not rely on a Rove. Now, the Gemara gets involved in that the reason why we did that is because there are scenarios. If she would go to him, he's a kavua. In the case of a kavua, called kavua kamatsa metzadami, so you couldn't use rive. In the case of a parish, you say called parish meruba parish. So if he came to her, he left the state of the rive. He was a parish on the rive. He came to her. So you rely on a rive. In the case where she went to him, so we have a gzera, we're not going to rely on the case. A rove that way, also you're going to rely on a rove in the case of that way. So, because we make this gzera, because of the chumra of Yuchsin, we're not going to rely on rove. And even in the case of really, you should. Okay. Let's say Hoyse Muberis. So she's clearly had relations with a man. So she can't even say. She can't, use some type of an argument to me. Go, listen, I could have denied that I had any relations with him. Right? Obviously, that's, so she's clearly had bia in the situation. What's the status of this child? The father was so-and-so who was a kosher. He's a kayan. So even in this scenario where we vowed to have an indication of a ma'aseh in front of us, she is believed. The purpose of this case is even in this case, Rabbi Eliezer to say that the halacha is that she's believed that the she's kosher. And the moral will discuss the status of the child. Does the modus of the mother in regards to her status carry over to the child, and the child is kosher as well? Or do we argue that the mother has a cheses kosheres going for her? We knew at one point in time she was kshera l'kuhuna. You have a question, did she become psula l'kuhuna? So the Cheses Kasher says that she remains kshera l'kuhuna. The daughter, if the case would be a daughter, the child is born as a girl, the child comes into the world in a state of suffix. So that she has no chazaka. Chazaka is always, we had one point in time where the body was kashrus. So does the chazaka of the mother extend into the child as well? So that's the machlokes in the Gemara. Cheses a mahani lebas. But Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that vis-a-vis herself, for sure she's believed. And the Gemara comes out of Maskana. We say that both she and her child are kosher, but that's the machlokes in the Gemara.
Okay, that less than a
fruit
might be more than the
less than a fruit,
the passive equivalent you have to wait
till. So now the Mishnah continues in Mishnah Yud. There was a young woman who went down to get water from the ayin, from the spring. Venensa, and a man took advantage of her when had okay. Amar Biyachim and Duri. So The Gemara is going to say, I thought we said we don't go bus a roiv. The Gemara said over here that there was actually two roivs involved. There was the roiv of the Anshei Hir. And besides the roiv of the Anshei Hir, there's a possibility that a man might have been from outside of the city. There was the ayin was outside of the city. But right now there was a group of people which were encamped nearby, who were visiting to the city, and they were also, we know that the roiv of them was share of the kahuna. To the combination of the two roivs, the Gemara says it's enough to be machshir her. But Kivego over here has Akasha, which I think I told you once, it's Kivego's Akasha. So how much is roiv in the Mishnah? Right, so let's say there's 101 men in the city, right? And 51 are Ksher Lakuna and 50 are Pasa Lakuna. It would be people who would Pasa Lakuna. She says Kosher. Right, look, that should be the math, right? But Kreger's problem is the man who comes to marry her is from the city. And he knows he didn't do it. So even though the roiv of the people in the city are Ksher Lakuna, and the Kayan is coming to marry her now. Once, right? He's one of the people in the city. He knows he didn't do it.
Why does he know?
And why does he know that he didn't do it in his sleep? We don't know whether sure or not, but he knows the reality. So he's saying, oh, well, she's wanted to me because of the rife. What do you mean she's wanted because of the rife? You know you didn't do it. So as far as you're concerned, it's 50-50.
He says he didn't do it.
I don't care what he says, but he personally, vis-a-vis his creator, is saying, listen, Rishon, I know I didn't do it. So as far as I'm concerned, there's no right. So how can I be mutter? Come and say, listen, we don't know who did it. Maybe you. So we say, yes, it's mutter. That's very nice. We say, yes, it's mutter. But he can't sleep with a good conscience based on what we say, because he knows whether he did it or not. If he knows he didn't do it, he can't marry her. Where's the right? So how can the Mishnah say that the roiv, which stam and shas, roiv means one, how can that be mutter? How can that be sufficient? So if the case was a guy from outside of the city came to marry her, Kutukayan, okay, right? But the Mishnah didn't require that. So that's Kivegar Zakash over here. So Kivegar says at the end, it's a kiddush to me that I didn't find anybody asked this question. It's like nobody speaks about this question. It's a great question. So I told you this is where the Rishash says, this is where the Rishash says you have a mistake. Rav is a Xerza Kazav, it's not a Sora. And once there's a Psaka Rav, she's Mutter. Even though he knows that there's no Rav. That's what you see from this Mishnah. You see from this Mishnah a major Yesod. Okay? Go digest that one before breakfast. Okay, is that the Mishnah?
Yeah, I mean, I understand Rabbi Kivega asking the question of like, okay, so what's the halacha here? But if the suggestion is it's covered in the Mishnah, that seems a little difficult. I mean, the Mishnah is not necessarily exhaustive.
I understand, but there's no Gemara about it. There's no Rishon about it. There's no Akronim about it. There's nobody about it. I mean, nobody seems to be bothered by this question. It's got the Kivega, Vice the Chais. We have to assume that the halacha is that that case is mutter. The Mishnah said, "Rive is enough."
Yeah, but he's talking about the very unusual situation.
Okay. That's what I told you. That's where the Rishah says. Okay, so he wants to clear the following scenario: we go us a rive. So you have rive. If you find a piece of meat in the city, so if Roiv of the stores in the city sell kosher meat, and the Miyad sells trefa meat, so you go bust a Roiv. We said the meat's kosher meat. The worst of the case was there's no meat coming in from outside of the city. They locked. The city's been a lockdown. There's no meat in the city coming in. They didn't have freezers. You see fresh meat that didn't come in from anywhere else but from here. Okay, so there's no question it came from somewhere else. Fine. So Rishash presents the following potential scenario. What'll be if the rive of the kosher stores sell kosher meat? And he gives an example with circles and triangles, you know, or squares and triangles. It says, but the meat which they're selling is in the kosher stores. There's 50 pieces of meat, 40 which are squares and 10 which are triangles. The Trevis store, there's only 30 pieces of meat total, but of them, 20 are triangles and 10 are squares. And you find a triangle. So he says it's mutter, because right of the meat in the city is kosher. Even though, he says, because those there's a custom called Rav. That's I told you this Rishash once. He says we misunderstand the concept of Rav. He says he's not, he wouldn't say Lach Lamaisa, but he says it seemed to him based on this Kregos Kasha. You see from the fact that it's assumed that that's not a problem. That Rav is not a logic. It's there's a custom. Okay. So now, the story wasn't that immediately after that he had relations with a woman the first night, and the suin, he goes to bed the next morning and says, you know what, there's something wrong over here. That's not the situation. No, the situation is, this is years later, the woman is getting divorced, or the husband passed away, and we don't have the ksuba. We don't know what was written in the ksuba. And he marries Basula Nisusani. I was married as a Basula, and he owes me a ksuba of 200. Or if the case of Gerish and the man's alive, and he says, Loiki, Alamona Nisusich, I married you as an Amona, and I only was Makai myself a ksuba of 100. In the case with Binis Armala, the Bezin, the Yarshim would be saying, you know, we don't know, but maybe. Our father married you as an amana. There's no ksuba here. We don't know what the chiyuv is. Maybe we only owe 100. So Mishnah says, "Im yesh edim shiotzes bihinuma b'roisha perua ksuvasa masai." When they would take the psula from a woman who's a psula from after erisin, the woman would continue to live in her father's by her parents. At the time of the suan, they would escort the woman from the base of Ia to base Bala. If there are people who remember that it took place going out with some type of a veil, which they would put over, reveal the woman like they do nowadays, and her hair was not bound; it was loose. So both of those were only done in a scenario of a psula. So even though we do not have a ksuba in front of us, if people witnesses remember this is how it was done, we assume it was done based on the way it was that normally would happen. She was not an almana, she was not a bula, she was a psula, and he has to pay 200. Okay. Now, so the Gemara gets involved in a few things over here. We'll see when we get to the Gemara because it's a little bit complicated to do it right now. But one issue which the Gemara grapples with is why can't she do this multiple times? Right? If she doesn't have, if we would require to present the ksuba to collect, right? So she'll come to the bezel on the ksuba. After it's collected, the ksuba is taken away from her, it's given to the yarshim, and that's it. So, but if she tries this multiple times, what would happen over there? So he says, if we see that the bezin, because of the bezin is enforcing a ksuba and collecting a ksuba even though without the shtar, so why can't she do it multiple times? The Mor says, we'd give the children or the husband would give them a receipt. Right? So that's called shiver. That's what the Mor refers to as a shiver because it breaks the power of the right to collect. So the Mor says, you see from over here that we write a receipt. So what's the, I mean, like, why yes, why no? What's the chiddush? The Mor says that maybe we should say we don't write a shiver because you're putting the burden of responsibility now on the man or his estate to keep his money. He has to keep a shiver. So why should we put the burden on the man? So Mor says, yeah, but if we have no other choice, we're going to write a shomer. So that's one issue the Mor deals with. The other issue the Mor deals with is that why does this Yasubi Numa Peresha Pru work? It works based on a Rav. The Mor says, well, it means you're saying that the Rav is Moitzi Mammon. And that's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Can you realize, can a Rav, is Rav powerful enough to be Moitzi Mammon? The Mor says that Rav situations where a woman goes out under these circumstances, she's a psula. It's not a valai, it's a Rav. So Mor says, so according to Rav, holds that Rav can be Moitzi Mammon, fine. According to Shmuel, holds that Rav cannot be Moitzi Mammon, so why does this work? And that's the Mor's kasha. Mechusim Rav and Shmuel is the main place in Shas, is the Gemara in Bava Basra, beginning of the Hamarcha Paris. So the person buys an animal, it turns out the animal is in Nachon. So the Sitana Tamechotos, he wants his money back. A nakhon, it's a negeach, it's a mood for going around and goring animals. So he says, Mechotos, I don't need an animal which I have to be busy spending my whole time watching. It shouldn't attack any other animals, it costs me a lot of money. See, he says, a Mechotos. So the Moicher says, you bought it to Shecht it, go Shecht it. Like, what do you have for me? What's the problem? He says, no, I bought it to work in the field. She says, Mechotesi. So the Mor says, Rav animals which were purchased for work purposes. So the Rav tells me that's a Mechotos, so he's right to get his money back. The Miat says, no, we bought it for Shechita, he doesn't write to get his money back. So Rav says, since Rav says he bought it the Radya, to work in the field, and if that's true, it's a Mechotos, he gets his money back. Shmuel says, you can't be Motzi Mammon based on a Rav. You're making the Moicher give money back. You're being Motzi Mammon from the Moicher based on a Rav. He says, that you can't do. Okay. Let's. So the Mishnah Vayter. If you're having a Broicher, I'm Afkil Claudius riots. The riot isn't limited to the case of Hinuma or Rosh Aprua, but another thing which the Mor says that really was just a question of different places they did different things. In the place where Yerucham and Broker lived, they would give out cloyas to the people. Cloyas were, they would take grains which hadn't been weren't fully ripened, and they would roast them, and they would caramelize and then become sweet. So they'd give out sweets. Okay, now, Zokt the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to move into a concept called Peshos or Peshehitr. Next week, Mishnahis will present that. There's a Mechos Rishonim in Peshos or Peshehitr. What's the logic behind it? There's an argument that the Mishnah says if the whole source of the question of the potential problem is the individual, then he's clarifying and making an argument which, had we known about the issue independent of him, we would not have believed it. But now that he's the only source of the question, we can believe him for clarification. Pesha Oser, the mouth which created the problem, Pesha Yitter is the mouth which can correct and solve the problem. So what is the logic behind that? So the Mishnah gives an example like this. The first example, Murder of Yeshua. Yeshua said before, in all the cases that when she's coming to make a claim, and the Baal says that possibly not, so the Baal wins. But let's say the following. So does Ushal Avicha HaYisor Ulekachtia HaYemenu. See, person walks over to the children and says, "Listen, your father passed away. You should know that this field used to belong to your father. I have no proof that I bought it, but I bought it from him." Right. So if we would know independently that the field belonged to the father, we'd say, excuse me, sir, why are you in this field? So I bought it. What's your proof? Nothing. I don't have Edom, I don't have Ishtar, I don't have anything. So please leave the field. But over here, the only source of the fact that this field belonged to the father was this individual. And he says he bought it. So even though that person would not be believed normally to Mitzi Mammon, if we knew this independent of him, but since we don't, Shunaman he's believed, Shapesha Osir, Huapesha Hitr. The whole source of the question vis-a-vis the problem vis-a-vis this, and he opened his mouth and he said, it's your father's field. Now, that's believed. Because I watched him myself, by the way, you know, this is really your father's field, okay? Hadas put the commandium on me. He said, yeah, but I bought it. Oh, I said, excuse me, prove that you bought it. Hadas put the on me. Only works against you, doesn't work for you. So you're a mitzvah that belongs to the father, you have to give the field back. Now you're claiming that you bought it. Okay, prove it. No, we don't say that. We say, Pesha, Pesha, who Pesha hit to? But the Miesh Eidim Shehu Shalaviv. But we know it belongs to the father independently of this person. And he says, I bought it. I don't know, but he's not believed. Right? He even said, bring me a star, bring me a chazak, or bring me something. Otherwise, you're not believed. So there's a machlokes rishonim in the Peshach of Peshach Hitter. Tosfos says, looks at it as a super migu. Right? Migu is always based on the person saying, we know the person's not lying, because if he's lying, logic would be, but the average person is aware of the possible arguments, A, and then he understands the implication of the arguments, B, and logic dictates, you would, if you're lying, you pick the best argument available. Right? The only reason why the person would say this argument, what he's saying, is either because he's a fool, or it's the truth. Right? Those are the two options. Right? If we accept the fact that most people like keeping their money, like winning cases, and most people are aware of the options, right? So why did he say this? Either because he's a truthful person, he has no choice to say the truth, or because he's an idiot. Well, probably that's not the situation. That's Migu. But we're relying on the fact that he's aware of the possibilities, he understands the implications, etc. But to keep your mouth shut, most people understand you can keep your mouth shut. Right? You don't need this. It's a super migu, Tosfos says. The other Rishonim, Rashi seems to learn that his logic is something totally different. It's something with migu. It's a different concept totally. It's a concept of that we look at his statements as the sum total of his statement is that he didn't admit to anything. You're using the argument against because he lost the command of me. You admitted it belonged to the father. No, I didn't. Right? Because we look at the sum total of what he said, but says it's mine. That was the sum total. Well, it was your father's, and I bought it. So, did you admit anything? No. So that's a. Do you need to say this technically deeper or not? In other words, can he walk in today and say it belongs to the father? You know, walk in an hour later. By the way, I bought it. You know, right? Or that's too late. He has to say it as one unit. So, according to Rashi, logic is he has to say it as one unit. Tosfos gets involved, and can you say what's called the Migul Mafreya? Okay.